Okay, can I have a couple people help me with the communion? When we take the communion, God wants us to discern the body of Christ. He wants us to look at the different things that happened to his body in his sacrifice. We're looking at this bread. We're looking at the pure, sinless, perfect body of Christ. He never made a mistake. We see this perfect, sinless body has been beaten and bruised for us. And the Bible tells us that his body was beaten and bruised for us. Beaten for our transgressions and wounded for our iniquities. You'll notice that this bread has stripes in it. Bible tells us that it's by his stripes we were healed. And this bread has been pierced. Everybody knows that his body was pierced when he was on that cross. That Roman soldier thrust a spear in his side. But his body was pierced when he got nails in his hands. And his body was pierced when he got nails in his feet. And his body was pierced when he got a crown of thorns shoved down on his head, actually smashed down on his head. And everywhere his body was pierced, he shed blood. And we get redemption in some area for that. You also notice that this bread is slightly burned. It means that the full wrath of God's fiery judgment was laid on Jesus when he was on that cross. The judgment that was meant for us, Jesus took it. So we're taking to this broken body for our healing and our well-being. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus is the blood of God. Make no mistake about that. Jesus is the seed of God, and he got his blood from his Father. That's why his blood can wash away our sins and redeem us. That's why his blood can protect us. That's why his blood never dies. That's why his blood continually cleanses us from all sin. And it's because of his blood that we can go boldly into the throne room of grace and receive mercy and grace in times of need. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. So today I get to preach and not teach. So, it gets a little easier for me today. Open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. Paul had a strong concern. He said, but I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve, through his subtlety, So your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. There's a lot of people that are preaching things that is not the gospel. And they call it a lot of different things. They try to justify it a lot of different ways. Sometimes they call it balance. They say they preach the full gospel of Jesus Christ, but then they mix in some law keeping. They call it obedience. Obedience is a good thing. But understand this, your obedience is not going to save you. Your faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone. See, I've been kind of devious in my adventures. And I'd run into pastors in various places and times, and I'd say, "You're a pastor?" He'd say, "Yeah." I said, "You preach the full gospel?" He said, "Absolutely, I preach the full gospel." "Really?" "Yep, 100%. "So you believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in other tongues?" He said, "Whoop." I said, you told me you preached the full gospel of Jesus Christ. But you don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit?" You preach the full gospel of Jesus Christ? "So you believe in laying hands on the sick, anointing them with oil?" Nope. If they show me any hesitation, they're not preaching the full gospel of Jesus Christ. They may preach their doctrine, but it's not the gospel. We got to understand that doctrine is not gospel. Doctrine is not gospel. I witnessed to a Muslim one time, and I went to start telling him about Jesus, and he just said, "Oh." "So what do you mean?" "So I spent 15 years in ministry. I sat under the feet of one of the most popular preachers on the East Coast. And all I could think was, you spent 15 years in Bible school and you didn't get born again?" See, you're not going to become a Muslim once you get born again. Now, you may be a churchgoer and become a Muslim, but you have to understand there's a difference between churchgoers and Christians. They're not the same thing. There's people that sit in church every day of their life for 30 years, go to church for 30 years, and not hear the gospel. There are some churches where it's not allowed to preach salvation. You see how the simplicity of the gospel has been corrupted? It's a mess. But let's look at Galatians. We'll go over to Galatians chapter 1. Paul knows something about the gospel. Wouldn't you say? The Apostle Paul knew something about the gospel. Galatians chapter 1, verse 1 said, "Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me, unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from the present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there is some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. The gospel is simply this: Jesus Christ and him crucified. We believe in our heart that God raised Jesus back to life, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. That's how you get saved. Amen? Now, some deep thinkers have caused a division in that. Some of them say, oh, you're one of those believe once saved, always saved, huh? Yeah. I'm not trying to find out any other way. And then there's some say, well, our salvation is continuing. Guess what? They're both right. I had a charismatic Catholic working for me one time, and he said, explain this salvation thing to me. And I said, okay, you are saved. When you get born again, you are saved. I mean, you are going to go to heaven. Amen? There's nothing you could do to earn that. All you could do is believe it and receive it. Amen? Now, unfortunately, there's a group of people that have kind of turned salvation into born again. And it's so much more than being born again. Salvation, you know, when God started talking to the Hebrew people about salvation, they get this great big picture in their mind about salvation meant. And it takes us something like 28 English words to describe that one Hebrew word. Salvation has in it healing and protection and deliverance. Are you done being healed? Are you done being protected? Are you done being delivered? Then guess what? You're not done being saved. So you are saved, and you are being saved. It's a continual work. Also, when we get to heaven and we meet Jesus face to face, he will complete our redemption, so you will be saved. See, you are saved, you're being saved, and you will be saved. Well, doesn't that just solve a lot of church fights right there? That would solve a lot of arguing back and forth. But Paul was talking about this gospel, the simplicity of the gospel, and he put in a warning in there, and I take it to heart. Verse 8 says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. There's a whole bunch of preachers that need to read that verse, and they need to take it to heart. There is no other gospel than that what Paul preached. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ and him crucified. The Bible tells us we have to believe on him. How do you believe on Jesus? Well, number one, you believe that God raised him back to life, right? That's believing on him. Another thing, you believe that Jesus died for your sins. That's believing on him. Another thing, you believe that by his stripes you were healed, right? That's believing on him. Another thing, you believe that God sent the Holy Spirit, that Jesus sent the Holy Spirit here to come upon you so that you can operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, right? That's believing on him, because Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit, not man. People get confused about this. The Holy Spirit, he does the operation of the baptism into the body of Christ when we get born again. Preachers, or believers, do the water baptism, But only Jesus can do the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We believe that God made you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's believing on Jesus. We believe that you've been made a new creature in Christ. That's believing on Jesus. Every time you find one of these new creation realities where it talks about you, what Jesus did to you, what Jesus is doing in you, who you are in Him, that's believing on Him. You're believing the full gospel. Amen. Now, let's look over here to Galatians chapter 3. Well, we'll go to chapter 2, verse 20. It says, I am crucified. Well, verse 19. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Now, that's significant. That, Paul, he wasn't just a common Jew. He wasn't just a common priest. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He knew the law inside and out. He knew the law better than anybody else around him. He was above his peers. In fact, it's been said that he was sitting at the feet of the high priest, being trained to be the high priest. Think about that for a minute. And then he said, I am dead unto the law, but Christ lives in me. He let all those years and years and years and years of training and everything that he held important, everything that he worked for, he put all to the backside and received the fullness of God in Christ Jesus. That's saying a lot right there. You know, one time when I was just really early on, I was at church. And we went through the whole service. And at the end of the service, this lady come dragging another lady up to me, said she needs to get born again. I said, okay, let's go get the pastor. And this girl, she was only about this tall. She stuck her finger in my chest, said, you do it. Like I didn't think I was qualified. So I struggled through it, and this lady got born again. And then she started crying, and I thought, oh, I did it now. I said, what's wrong with you? She said, I wasted my whole life sitting in the Catholic Church. And I said, wait a minute. See, you didn't waste your life. Let's get this straight. You didn't waste your life sitting in church. You finally got your prize, what you were seeking for. See, those people that are sitting, whatever adventure it is that they go through to get to Christ is not a waste of time. God used that for them to get them to the place they needed to be in order to be saved. It's not a waste of time. You did not waste your life. You got your prize. You were seeking. You were working, you were trying as hard as you could, and you finally got your prize. Praise God. Praise God. There's a lot of ways. There's a lot of different trails that people take to get to Jesus. There's only one way to the Father, and that's through Jesus. There's only one way to God, and that's through the Son. There's a lot of adventurous little trails that people take to get to Jesus. But know this. Jesus was watching over this whole adventure that you were on. And some of us have some pretty neat adventures before we can finally get to the spot where God can minister to us, where we can receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Some of us have to get baited in. Amen. But he gets us where we need to be. Praise God. But he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. See, that's a whole lot like 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, how we get made a new creature in Christ. He was one way one minute, and he was a whole different being the next. You know, Paul had an encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus, and he looked up and said, who are you, Lord? And then he says, you're Lord. You know what happened? Right there, he got born again. Oh, that can't be, because he didn't say the sinner's prayer. He can't be born again. He didn't repent. As in, ask God to forgive him of his sin. See, there's a group of people that will have somebody go into a room with them and have them confess all these things that they did in their life so they can get right before God. That's a bunch of BS. I say that coarsely because that's what it is. Paul looked up and said, you are Lord. And you never, ever, ever, ever find anywhere in the Bible where Paul is asking God to forgive him of his sins. And you never ever in the Bible find anywhere where God reminded him of his sins. Paul simply believed that God raised Jesus back to life and he confessed him to be Lord. That's what we do. Now, verse 21 is very significant. You should circle this with your favorite crayon. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. I do not frustrate the grace of God. How would we frustrate the grace of God? By saying, okay, I need to do this in order to be righteous before God. I need to do this in order to be forgiven before God. I need to do this in order to receive blessings before God. No. That's frustrating the grace of God. You believe on him. We'll get to that in a minute. But you have to absolutely understand that you need to be white hot for Jesus. That means 100% depending on the grace of God and nothing else. Now, there's some preachers running around saying that righteousness is right doing, and that is false. That is a doctrine straight from the pit of hell. That is not the truth. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Righteousness is right position. You're in right standing with God. Whatever was wrong between you and Jesus before you got born again, got washed away by the blood of Jesus, you got made a new creature in Christ, and there you are. Poof! The very minute you got born again, you got a whole bunch of things happen. So you have to understand, a whole bunch of things happen Why you need to look these new creation realities up. But you got judged. Did you know that? You got judged. Because the Bible tells us that when God raised Jesus back to life, you got justified freely by his grace. See, you can't be justified until you've been judged. All of your sins have been judged on the cross. And you got justified of those by the blood of Jesus. So you have no business holding any past sins over your head. And you had no business allowing the devil to hold any past sins over your head. You are a child of God. You are washed in the blood of Jesus. You are in right standing with him. There is therefore now no condemnation to you that are in Christ Jesus. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 says, well, let's go to verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. See, we just talked about the just. You got justified freely by grace. You're the just. You are the just. And you are not justified by the works of the law. Period. You have absolutely no business trying to keep the law. None. Now, you have no business, absolutely no business whatsoever, and going out and breaking the law because you're under grace. That's stupidity. But you're not trying to keep the law in order to stay in right standing with God. You're in right standing with God, therefore, you rule and reign over sin. You won't be breaking the law. And when you do, the blood of Jesus continually cleanses you from all sin. We have an advocate with the Father, and his name is Jesus, our high priest, who is continually praying over us, interceding for us. Praise God. See, the law will break a man, but grace will give a man a break. See, Jesus is the only one that could keep the law. That's why we believe on him. We couldn't walk that walk. Only Jesus could walk that walk. And he did it perfectly. And now we are in him. Our lives are hid in him. We live our lives in Christ. Christ lives his in us. See, you're inseparable from Jesus. You're the body of Christ. Now, he just said, the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith. But the man that does them shall live in them. So here's the thing. The Bible tells us that the just shall live by faith. The law is not of faith. But if you keep one part of the law, you got to keep the whole thing or you're guilty of breaking all of it. My old boss used to say, if it's 95% right, it's all wrong. This guy was hard to work for. Said, if it's 95% right, it's all wrong. Well, that's the law. There are people that act like they keep the law. But if they don't keep all of it, they're guilty of breaking the whole thing. That's not a good place to be. They said the just shall live by faith, and the law is not of faith. But verse 13 says that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Let's talk about that for a minute. there's a lot of Christians running around saying that they've been redeemed from the curse of the law, but then they spend their days and nights in fear that they're going to get punished for something they did wrong. I thought you was redeemed from the curse of the law. If you're in fear of punishment, then there's some area of your life where you're trying to earn favor from God. Instead of receiving favor, you're trying to earn it. You think if you do this thing well, you'll be blessed. And if you make a mistake in that area, you're in trouble. That's not the gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You're redeemed from the curse of the law. Verse 14 says that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. I was really, really happy when I found out that I qualified for some blessings. Because, you know, for the longest time, I knew I was born again, but I thought I was just saved just enough to get to heaven. You know, maybe I was swinging over the fires of hell by a silver string, you know. And that I would just squeak into heaven. But as far as anything, you know, like financial blessing or any kind of healing or anything like that, I didn't qualify. You know, maybe I just wasn't good enough. But then I found that verse and I thought, oh man, that's my bird nest in the ground. So I went and I told the pastor that, and he said, oh, that's for the Jews. You get spiritual blessings, but you don't get no financial blessings. You don't get nothing like that. I thought, what? So I went and read my Bible some more. And then I ran into verse 29. And you should circle this. Every time you read verses 13 and 14, you read verse 29 without fail. If you be Christ's, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. If you are born again, you are Christ. You are the seed of Abraham, and you are heirs according to the promise. In fact, the Bible says that you have been made joint heirs with Christ Jesus. As far as Abraham's concerned, what did that old sheep herder have? Well, after he got done fighting all those kings and saving his nephew Lot, which he was told to leave behind when he left the land of Ker. But he didn't obey God. He brought Lot. Lot caused some trouble. Lot got in trouble. And Abraham went and saved him. And then Melchizedek showed up. And what did Melchizedek say? I told you not to bring Lot. Now this is what's going to happen. That's not what he said, is it? That would be what the Aaronic priesthood would say. Said, if you obey and you do this and this and this, then you'll be blessed. If you do this and this and this, then you'll be cursed. That's the Aaronic priesthood. Melchizedek come up there and said, blessed are you, Abraham. Possessor of heaven and earth. That pretty much covers everything, don't it? Possessor of heaven and earth. Now, the church has been gaslighted into this idea. Don't ever say anything against Israel, and I don't. But here's the thing. When God made that covenant with Abraham, He said, I will bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you. And everybody has taken that as being Israel's blessing. What verse 29 say? Verse 29 said, if you're Christ, then are you Abraham's seed, and heirs according to his promise. That verse goes to you. I will bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you. That's your verse. You're the seed of Abraham. It's because it's covenant. See, when they would cut covenants, it was for generations and generations. So when you got born again, you became the seed of Abraham. You belong into that family. How did Abraham end up being in right standing with God? Because of this covenant? The Bible tells us that Abraham believed God. He believed God, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Abraham believed God, and he was in right standing with him. We believe God, and that puts us in right standing with him. We believe God, and we receive healing from him. We believe God, and we receive provision from him. We believe God, we receive protection from him. We believe on him. We believe on him. See, that's how our whole life works. We believe, we receive. We believe, we receive. We believe, we receive. That's the gospel. We cannot earn anything. In fact, the Bible says that God will be a debtor to no man. So if you're trying to earn some brownie points, you know, you're trying to figure you can do a certain amount of service work, or you can give enough money, or you can do enough good things, or you can pray enough, or you can fast enough, and you can earn something from God, just stop. Just stop. Those are good things, don't get me wrong. But do them out of a right heart. Do those things because Jesus has already placed you in that position. But don't do those things trying to get Jesus to place you into a position. Amen? Everything happened at the cross and everything changed. There was nothing the same after the cross. Our way of getting into the presence of God is through Jesus Christ and him crucified. There's no other way. So, Father, we ask you, I'd like everybody to bow their heads and close their eyes. Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus that whenever we encounter people in our day-to-day travels, wherever we may be, that their hearts would be open to Jesus, that we could minister the salvation of God to them. That Jesus would draw all men to the cross by the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit would open their hearts to believe that God raised Jesus back to life and to confess that Jesus is Lord. That they could be a part of the great family. Be a part of the kingdom of God. So when we run into people, we can tell them to ask Jesus to come into their heart. You can say this with one simple prayer. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. I believe that God raised Jesus back to life. I confess you to be Lord. In Jesus' name. Let us remember these things as we go about our adventures. As we be witnesses to Christ. Ambassadors of the kingdom of God. We can reconcile people unto God as Jesus reconciled us unto him. Father, we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, everybody, we have snacks and fellowship back here. Come on back.